Good morning, Peace Church, and welcome to worship. If you're joining us on YouTube this morning, click on the link in the description below to check in. If you're joining us on Facebook, that link can be found in the comments. No matter how you're joining us, we would love to know that you've worshiped with us this morning. You will also find other helpful links, such as our online giving portal and prayer request submissions. If you are still able, you can continue to send in any contributions through the mail or give electronically by visiting www.peacechurch.org/give. If you know of someone that doesn't have access to a computer, we encourage you to call them and worship with them over the phone. We want to make sure that everyone is still connected during this time when we are urged to stay apart. Lastly, if we can be of any assistance during this time, please don't hesitate to contact the church office. From all of us here at Peace, thank you for joining us this morning. Now let's begin worship with the singing of our opening hymn, Christ is Risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Alleluia. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
This is the day the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
From the rising of the sun to its setting,
the name of the Lord is to be praised.
O give thanks to the Lord, for he is gracious.
For his mercy endures forever.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ,
whose mercy has given us new birth to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead.
Without having seen him, we love him, and we believe in him,
receiving the outcome of our faith, the salvation of our souls.
Hallelujah! Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah!
Let us pray.
Almighty God, who through your Son overcame death and opened to us the gate of everlasting life, grant that we who celebrate our Lord's resurrection may arise from the death of our sin through the renewal of your Holy Spirit, and may hear and obey your living word of truth. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever. Alleluia. Amen. Our Old Testament lesson today comes to us from Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our first New Testament lesson comes to us from 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse 19. For it is commendable if someone bears up under the pain of unjust suffering, because they are conscious of God. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. Our second reading for today comes from the book of Acts in chapter 2. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Good morning, church. Hope you're having a great week. Hope you've had a good week. I know there's probably some excitement as things are going to start reopening a little bit here in Texas and DFW. And so as we think about that and how do we then maybe start this transition back into life, I want to think back to our series in Acts, which is called Caught in the Acts. A couple weeks ago, I gave you a challenge to get caught in the acts. So how is the challenge going? Have you been able to be caught in the acts? If you haven't yet, the good news is there's still time to get caught. The past couple of weeks, I've been thinking about what meals look like quite a bit. I've been thinking about some of the experiences I've had in restaurants over the years. One of the things that I've pondered is the role of each of the elements in the meal experience. I find it fascinating to see how each restaurant attempts to craft a meal experience that they desire for you to have as you enter the restaurant that day. Whether it's Chick-fil-A or McDonald's, whether it's something like Chipotle or McAllister's, or maybe something like a nice steakhouse, each of them are looking to achieve something different. One of the things that I've noticed is the more sit-down you go to on the scale, the more the experience is enhanced in order to keep you and your guests engaged in the meal, but also everything that comes around it. You know, it's interesting because I've seen couples at all those kind of restaurants that come in, sit down, eat their food quickly, and walk out, whether it's McDonald's or whether it's one of the steak places downtown or out in the neighborhood somewhere. I wonder if you've had that experience too. I wonder what your experiences have been when you've been able to go into restaurants. Now, we haven't really been able to do that for some time now. But as you think about those experiences, what makes them memorable? What elements have made the most memorable experiences in terms of your meals, whether it's at home or in a restaurant, that you can remember? As I think about many of life's important moments, they're all surrounded by the table. I can remember growing up and watching the varying roles of the dinner table time and its place in our families. It seems like over time our society has become more focused on having quick meals or kind of leaving the table and no longer having that fellowship, that community. However, I believe the table and the meal fellowship plays a grand role in our life and also in our faith life, especially in its role in creating community and fellowship. I've talked with a few folks the past month or so that have created online meetups or meals where they eat together, or maybe it's just happy hours where they're all on one of those social media things where they're networking and they're gathering at the table. Even if they're across the country, they're still sharing a meal, and maybe it's just across town or across the street. You see, we need those folks with us around the table, even if it's through a screen during this season that we've been in the midst of collectively in our lives. So as we turn to the lesson in Acts today, the believers were on a high on a mountaintop at the end of the lesson for last week. You see, Peter preached, 3,000 people heard him talking, the Spirit moved, and they received the gift and the hope of faith. So the church grew in a leap and a bound right out of the gate. Our lesson for today follows that birth of the church. Where do we find the believers after the birthday? On day 2 and day 3, we find them gathered around the table. We find them devoted to the parts of the faith that are the most important. The apostles' teaching, prayer, fellowship, and the breaking of bread. As we think about the church in the book of Acts, we tend to talk about the house church, or even small groups, at least generally. And I believe this is due to the fact that we tend to emphasize the smaller meetings, in the groups and around tables, in living rooms, around the fire pit in the backyard. But these believers also gathered together in the temple, where they were in the gathered or the larger group setting. So as we look at these different activities, we can put together what it means to be caught in the acts, what it means to be a disciple in the early church. Now, the first century believers had a high commitment level. They gathered together, you heard it right, every day. They were extremely intentional about their journey in faith. This was a community journey, not just an individual journey. Now, I believe that is one of the philosophical differences of the early church and the early 21st century church. You see, we've swung the pendulum from community to where it's a personal, individual journey of faith, where it's a private journey. Now let's look together to see what the commitment of a disciple was in the book of Acts, in the first century, on day 2 and day 3. First, we see them focused on learning. They're meeting in the temple courts. They're discussing the apostles' teaching. Second, they focused on fellowship, breaking bread in their home. Third, they focused on table fellowship. They ate together with glad and sincere hearts. And finally, number 4, they gave generously. What does it look like to be a disciple in the 2020s? Today, May 3rd. When we think about commitment level, the need for hope, for life, for being refreshed, it's still a daily need for us today. So what are the things that disciples of the 20th century, 21st century now should be focused on? Now, I believe that we're living very similarly to the time of the early church. Study or devotion time is a daily need. We have a focus on fellowship, spending time with other believers. Whether that's on video conferencing or maybe in person in the future again. But what about focusing on table fellowship? Getting down and having a meal with folks. How does that look today in 2020? My guess is that your table has been full in your house for several weeks now. You've probably moved into a more intentional, longer mealtime where connection and conversation has taken a greater role. How have you, or maybe can you, incorporate faith discussions into those times when you're gathering around the table? You see, Martin Luther wrote the Small Catechism just for this purpose. It was to equip the head of the household to lead basic discussions about what faith means. If we look at giving generously, I want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart and from our staff to everyone who has continued to support the church through online giving, through mailing in your offerings. We truly appreciate your generosity. I also want to think about how can we be giving generously throughout life. Maybe that looks different for each one of us. With the talents and the gifts and the skills that God has equipped and given to us. I'd like to encourage you to use the gifts that God has given to you generously in His service. Whether that's in the four walls of our church, or whether that's in the four walls of your house or out in the community. Use the gifts that God's given you. And I want to go back to think about table fellowship, that fellowship around the table a bit more. I believe that is one of the places where we likely can benefit from some growth. Growth that God is intentionally using this opportunity to encourage. It may be intentionally moving from the fast food short order kitchen style meals in your home towards the more nicer, longer sit down kind of feel where you're in the restaurant for an hour or more. Crafting an experience each evening that causes you and your family to want to linger around the table in conversation and story. Crafting an experience that gives you time to share some of those faith moments, some study, a chance to talk about the joys and the struggles, some God sightings or God moments that you've had that week, that day. Maybe it's crafting opportunities to bring more folks around your table through video conferences, or maybe in the not too far off future, inviting folks over to your house while staying socially distanced. I think this is one of the areas that we can dream about for the time after the quarantine. How do we gather around the table with our family and our friends? How do we create those memorable moments? as we sit together to eat and to share. The men's retreat would have happened last weekend. As I thought about this fellowship around the table, I started to have pictures like this one run through my mind. The gathered disciples sharing that intentional fellowship, intentional great food, but also intentional spiritual conversation. Something that sticks out to me towards the end of this reading is where it talks about the believers had the favor of all the people. They were liked and respected by the community. They were the people that you wanted to be around. This gave the believers the opportunity to continue to share and tell their story. Peter expresses this well when he says, "Always be ready to give an answer to anyone who asks you about the hope that you have, but do it with gentleness and with respect." As I've looked through the Bible, it consistently includes that last little bit with gentleness and respect. This continues to promote the positive view of the people that they have of you, but also the view that they have of Jesus and of the church. This is important because we have the biggest news, the best news. We have the history of the world to share. We have the simple yet profound news that Jesus would come to die for the entire world, for everyone. And then on Easter, rise again from the dead, giving us the gates of heaven open. Our sins are forgiven. You see, it's time to start sharing this blockbuster news. It's time to continue sharing that news to our world every day. As you head out of church this morning, how is your table time going to look different? How are you going to craft that experience that gives you the opportunity to share life and faith with the people in your home? How will you widen the circle around your table so that you can share even more stories? So that you can share even more faith stories. God at work, even in the midst of the pandemic. How are you going to get caught in the acts this week? Share your stories with me, with us here at Peace Church. Tag us on Facebook at Peace Church DFW. I believe God is continuing to use this time of pandemic to cause revival. He's bringing the signs and the wonders. Don't worry about those. He's got them covered. All you and I need to do is to get caught in the acts. Let's allow God's marvelous light to come down into us and to shine brightly through us to the world. Amen. And may the peace of God guard your hearts and your minds and fill you to the brim with His love and His grace as you go out this week. Amen. Let us now confess our faith in our risen Lord. From the words of the Holy Scripture, the good news which we have received, in which we stand, and by which we are saved.
Christ died for our sins, was buried, and was raised to life on the third day according to the Scriptures, and appeared first to the women, then to Peter and the 12, and then to many faithful witnesses. We believe Jesus is the Christ, the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Amen.
Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and all people according to their needs. Good and gracious God and Father, we thank you for the blessings that you pour out upon this earth. Lord, we thank you for the awesome gift that you gave us in faith, the awesome gift that you gave us in sending your Son down to die on the cross and then to rise again for us. Lord, help us as we go out this week to continue to be caught in the acts, to continue to be sharing our faith around our tables, around the computer screens, Lord, as we're out on our walks, as we talk to our family and our friends. Lord, help us to continue to be the disciples you call us to be. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious God, we ask you to be with our world, our country, our state, and our local area, our community, that you would continue to watch over us, to keep as many people healthy and safe as possible. Lord, that you would help the coronavirus to burn off as quickly as possible. Lord, especially I pray as we start to reopen things, that you'd help people to continue to stay healthy. Lord, that there's not a second wave that comes that's a more powerful wave. But Lord, that you would continue to keep people healthy and safe. Lord, we ask you to be with all those families that are grieving right now, the loss of loved ones. Lord, whether it's from the coronavirus or whether it's from just the ordinary, normal things in life that cause life to come to a different place where you say it's time to come home. Lord, especially just surround them with your Holy Spirit, your comfort and your peace. Lord, as they continue to mourn and grieve by themselves in their homes. Lord, we ask you just to send that powerful Spirit to be with them. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Good and gracious God, we pray for all those who are going back to work. Lord, you would give them wisdom and knowledge. Lord, you would continue to protect the nurses, the doctors, all the folks who have been essential employees for quite some time now. That you'd keep them continuing to use wisdom and grace, Lord, as they continue to give the gifts that you give them to our communities. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And God, we pray for all those who are sick in our congregation, who are undergoing treatments for cancer, for other illnesses. Lord, that you would just continue to place your healing hands upon them, that you would help them to continue to improve. Lord, that you would bring them back to full health according to your will and your time. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And Lord, we give you thanks. There's lots of other fun things that are happening right now, like birthdays and anniversaries. Lord, we give you thanks for all those things and ask you to continue to be with us as we celebrate those, as we have joy in the bottom of our hearts overflowing. That you would help us to continue to give thanks to you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We bring all these requests and everything else that's on our hearts and our minds to you through the powerful name of your Son, Jesus our Lord, who taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
May you go with the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be all glory and praise and might and majesty forever and ever. And all God's people say, Amen.